Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, we just went into the party section of the radio station, and did you see that whole section off to the side with the pies?
Yeah, I'll throw the
and
pies.
The cakes, it's pumpkin cheesecake and pumpkin pie over there.
Everybody loves all the desserts. Well, are getting cleared out.
There are no
desserts in there that have been strangely skipped over a number of times.
The dessert I brought is being skipped over.
Oh,
I brought my sweet grandmother's black cherry jello with black cherries in it. It's not even easy to find black cherry jello. And nobody, I mean, there was one little smidgen missing. I'm about to post it on my Facebook page right now, and I want you to see. There's a reflection in the middle of this, and it's a reflection. The jello is right underneath there, so there's nothing gone. But I'm posting it right now on Scoot on the Air Facebook, and it's just so sad that the jello is not missing. So, you like Jell-O.
I like Jell-O.
But you're still eating food?
Yeah.
Well, let's do a taste test of the Jell-O. Tell me if you...
I got some of the black cherry Jell-O.
Right, hang on.
I'm not out here trying to disrespect your grandmother like everyone else at Odyssey New Orleans.
I know. I'm really sad about that. I mean, I guess not everybody likes Jell-O, but...
All right. Here I go. I'm taking a bite of Scoot's.
Yeah, get
sure grandmother's black cherry Jell-O.
Make sure you get a black cherry in
there. Some black cherries in there. Got a little bit of the whipped cream. Okay, mm-hmm. Here we go. Wow, you won't believe this, but it's hard to spear it with the fork.
Yeah, I got a spoon.
Okay,
I got a spoon.
Oh, that's delicious. That's really Scoot. Honest, that's really good. I like that a lot.
I mean, it's kind of light, but it's this was a family tradition, so maybe I like it because I grew up eating this. I mean, every holiday, my grandmother made the black cherry Jell-O with the black cherries in it.
You got the black Jell-O with the cherries and the whipped
cream. Yeah, but man, like nobody's eating it in there.
Well, it was a late entrant.
Well, it was, but...
I'm sure it'll pick up now that you and I took a little bit more out of the pan.
Well, others now it will looks probably like, yeah, I took a bunch of it out because I love this stuff.
Massacred it.
But, I mean, not only were we not invited to the party, but they don't even like my Jell-O.
It wasn't that we weren't invited.
No, we were invited.
We got the email saying, you're invited to the party. Yeah. It's from 1 to 4 p.m. on Friday.
Yeah, nice. I mean, everybody's in there, like, just communicating and talking.
Oh, yeah, they're all
building relationships with the boss.
And,
everybody's in there networking with the boss. Everybody's going to get raises except you and I. That's what these are all about.
Yeah, wasn't that...
Networking.
That's the thing we're talking about later, isn't it? You ask for a raise, you usually get it.
There was a survey out.
It was on the tease you wrote.
8 out of 10 employees who asked for a raise actually got one. They I don't think they
Where are these people?
Anybody?
Where do you work?
Did they interview anybody here?
No. I'm not on that survey.
No, look, things are good at this station, but sorry if we're eating here.
I'm not.
If you're new to our show,
it's delicious.
No, you're not supposed to eat on the air.
No.
It's one of the things that you learn in school.
Rude.
But I never went to DJ school.
Mm-mm. Is there such a thing?
Mm-hmm. In a way.
Yeah. Why didn't you go?
I was already in the business.
Oh, you need to go. You didn't get no ding-ding degree. You're already doing the work.
I took a class at Loyola.
In communication. Yeah.
Took a couple of classes in communication. And it's like these teachers are teaching it. I'm already in the business.
Whoa.
And even at that young age, I'm going, you know what? No, that's not the way it is. No, that's not.
That's so funny. It's not like that. Well, you're just like 17 when you got your first radio job?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
The best class that I took at Loyola, I was in my 20s at that point, was communication theory.
And
I was so fascinated with communication theory.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, like, flunked everybody. This teacher was the toughest teacher. He flunked everybody. I got a C, which is like getting an A in that guy's class.
Yeah.
But I was intrigued with communication, with communication theory, fascinated with it. And so I continued to study that throughout my career. And a lot of people in this business who do what we do really have no, they have no working knowledge of the relationship between mass media and society.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of kids grow up with, you know, certain kinds of heroes, football heroes, like Marshall McLuhan was my hero growing up when I was young. And Marshall McLuhan was a communication theory guru. I mean, he's the one that, you know, was talking about a global village and that one day we would be a global village and mass communication would bring us all together. And it's really an interesting phenomenon if you think about it. There was a time when teenagers in Japan, the United States, the UK, Germany, and Russia all looked very different. They all looked different. They all looked like their cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And now teenagers around the world pretty much look alike.
Wow, yeah.
You know, they dress alike. Their hairstyles are, you know, kind of the same. You know, some are really bizarre, but their hairstyles are the same. They wear the same kinds of clothes. And that's the result of mass communication. And when MTV hit the airways and small towns in Nebraska got MTV. I mean, mm-hmm. not everybody got it in the beginning, but ultimately, you know, small towns in rural America got MTV and suddenly teenagers all around this country started looking the same. So it's been mass communications has been a really interesting phenomenon.
Isn't it interesting at the same time that the more interconnected our lives become, the more isolated we feel from each other and from meaningful relationships? I mean, we're all so wrapped up in how easy it is to get the information you want and how easy it is to isolate yourself from information that you don't want and how easy it is to find like-minded people and how difficult it is to find middle ground with people. You know, I don't think I would say this, but an argument could be made that, you know, in the broad view of human history, it's not as necessarily a overwhelmingly positive development in terms of our, like, spiritual
right.
happiness.
Right. You know, the other thing interesting about all of that is that, and I read this in John Nesbitt's series of books, Megatrends, which came out in the early 90s. And in Megatrends, John Nesbitt just theorized that the more alike we become, the more we are pushed together to be alike, the more equality we have, the more we are going to push back into our own heritage. For example, if there's suddenly no distinction between us and everybody else, there's this natural desire to push back into who we are fundamentally mm-hmm. in terms of our cultures.
Yeah.
And so bringing people together is a good thing, but there's also going to be this rebelling of bringing people together where a lot of people are going to want to, subconsciously at least, revert back into protecting who they are. And, you know, there are some people who, when it comes to the South, there are some people who are not racist and they really do just care about their Southern heritage and everything that was part of the South. There were aspects of being part of the South that were not racist and didn't directly involve slavery. But there are people just around this country who will, the more we're brought together to become one, there will be this natural tendency to rebel back into to who we are to protect that identity.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can say about how white immigrants in particular from, you know, Eastern Europe, Southern Europe, you know, and the rest of Europe, broadly speaking. I mean, if you're Irish American or Italian American or Polish American, Once you got to America, it became kind of important for you in some places to shed that identity, to appear as a more, you know, native, you know, just sort of run-of-the-mill white person at a time when that was extremely important that you do that, because that was a really, there was no more clear indication of your status, of your class,
right,
than your ability to blend in with white mainstream America. And I think a lot of people are finding now that they regret that they did that, or that their families did that in the generations before, in order to more effectively integrate. You know, people are out here changing their names. So many people have names that their grandparents and great-grandparents, it was a much more ethnic-sounding name, you know. But now, you know, when you got to America, you kind of didn't really want to be, you know, like a person that would fit in the place where you came from. You wanted to fit in America. And I think there was a great deal of loss there.
Yeah, and think about the descendants of slaves who mm-hmm. came from Africa. What is their family name? I mean, what is their real family name? They don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that is probably a knowable thing in many cases, maybe not most or all, but you have to go do that work.
Yeah. Today is November 22nd. It's also Friday, November 22nd. This is the anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. But it's a more important, look, that was an important day. But for a young generation, it was a very important day, even though we didn't realize it at the time. And if I'm not mistaken, Kennedy was assassinated on a Friday. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the day Kennedy was assassinated, the day of the week, I think it was a Friday, because we were told at school that our parents would be talking about something over the weekend. They didn't tell us what it was. But the tragic assassination of President John F. Kennedy dominates recorded history for November 22nd. But there was another dramatic historical moment that was born out of view of the mainstream media and out of the view of the consciousness of the American people. It was on this day in 1963, John F. Kennedy was shot and killed during a presidential motorcade in Dallas. In 1963, the idea of the assassination of a sitting president was simply incomprehensible to Americans. A year earlier, in October of 1962, there was the Cuban Missile Crisis. That brought Americans to the threshold of a nuclear war with Russia. President Kennedy's staunch position tested the will of the Russians. They eventually blinked and backed down. But talk of nuclear war was prominent across America, and students regularly went through emergency drills in school in the event the Russians dropped a nuclear bomb on America. A few families in my neighborhood installed bomb shelters in their backyards. And I always thought it was kind of silly. You know, you heard about the devastation of a nuclear bomb. At school, we were told to get under our desks. And I'm thinking, what I know about the nuclear bombs and the devastation, how am I going to be safe under my desk? Anyway, it was kind of funny, but not at the time. But there were open dialogues about the top stories of the day. There are today, but there weren't back then. Parents did not talk to their kids about the news. And my parents, we heard my parents talking about what had happened. And my dad was a staunch Republican. Kennedy was a Democrat. But my dad was still shocked, and the neighbors were shocked. And our parents were talking about it. We heard the news. You know, the baby boomer generation was really young at the time. We were kids. But we knew something really bad had happened. And so November 22nd is the anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. It's also the anniversary of the birth of the anti-establishment generation of the 60s. The assassination of Kennedy was the beginning of the birth of that rebellious anti-establishment generation in America that is now the establishment. And as I look back and I have gained a better understanding of the collective impact of the Kennedy assassination on a young generation during those impressionable coming of age years, you know, I realized that we knew what was going on, but our parents didn't talk to us about this. And so I believe that upon the foundation of subconscious insecurity, the assassination of Kennedy, the president, sent an unnoticed shockwave through an entire young generation. This was the day for a young generation to unknowingly lose its faith in the establishment. You know, it was subconscious, but, you know, we're watching the news, we're hearing our parents, and we're hearing the panic in America. And we're thinking, again, subconsciously, How can we be secure if the President of the United States can be assassinated in public? Less than 3 months after Kennedy was assassinated, the Beatles arrived in America with a sound and a style that was different. A sound and a style that defined a young generation. A young generation was vulnerable to adopting an image and an attitude that challenged the establishment. And the Beatles, and you know, soon after the Beatles, other British invasion bands of the 60s, provided that opportunity, physical ways to distinguish ourselves from the generation of our parents, because we felt insecure. Our parents' generation was in charge, and the president was killed. And I think that it had an impact on all of us. So the Beatles were talented, but they were equally as lucky as they were talented. Because the Beatles came along at a time when young America was looking for a way to distinguish itself from the establishment. And the Beatles, with their hair and their clothes, which today seem like nothing, but in the context of those times, it was unheard of. It was rebellious. It was bizarre. And I have always believed that this day, November 22nd, 3 months before the Beatles arrived in America, is the actual day the anti-establishment generation was born. And that generation went on to be rebellious, to rebel against the establishment. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, it is Free for All Friday. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1991, Alice Cooper helped a couple of fans. Patrick and Deanne Kelly were fans of Alice. They had their home repossessed in California because they just had financial problems. Patrick had painted Alice Cooper's face on the house to help sell the property. He thought that would help out Alice Cooper with the makeup and everything. Alice Cooper found out about this. He went there, signed autographs at the yard sale to help raise money for the couple. 4,000 people showed up, and the Kellys were able to make enough money to pay the mortgage, and they kept their house. So he really is Mr. Nice Guy. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is a free-for-all Friday. Let me share with you a couple of posts on my Scoot on the Air Facebook page about the Jell-O that I just posted. We're having a party here in the other room. It's the WWL Thanksgiving potluck party because a lot of people take Thanksgiving week off, so a lot of people will be gone next week. So the whole station is down for this party. It's going on in the other room from 1 to 4 during our show, but we were able to sneak in there and get some stuff. And I didn't have to bring anything, but I contributed to the potluck, and I made my grandmother's holiday black cherry Jell-O with black cherries in it. And it's not easy to find black cherry Jell-O, and it's not easy to find those dark cherries in the can, so I had to go to three stores last night to get everything that I needed, and then made it last night, brought it in today. And I go back there, it's like nobody's eating it. And I posted a picture on SOTA Facebook about this, and then I just asked the question, do you like Jell-O? Carolyn says, please post the recipe, love Jell-O, make cranberry holiday Jell-O all the time. Ryan says, I love Jell-O as a kid. I always loved eating it at Piccadilly because I could get Jell-O and it counted as a salad. Yeah, I think they had Jell-O on celery. Not celery, on lettuce. So it counted as a salad. Cool, man. You beat the system. Says, I still like to get the pudding and the pie. Oh, I still got the pudding and the pie as dessert in the end. So it ended up being a nice meal. Kathy says, yes, I like Jell-O. I buy the little snack pack ones of sugar-free. Maybe it's the color they don't like. Yeah, it's a dark, dark red. It's dark cherry Jell-O, black cherry Jell-O. Casey says, does it have 151 in it? You know, that's our audience. No, it does, but you could put that in it. I'll post the recipe here. I mean, it's real simple. Robin says, I haven't had Jell-O since I was in the hospital. I can't remember if I ate it or not. Well, I understand that. Yeah, they give you a lot of Jell-O in the hospital, don't they? Jeremiah says, I usually eat Jell-O at the Chinese restaurant. Donna says, love black cherry Jell-O. Yeah, it's really awesome. And Ian enjoyed it. Had never had it before. Samantha says Walmart has black cherry Jell-O. Yes, that was going to be my last stop last night because Walmart generally has it. And you know, you can make sugar-free, and it really tastes good as well. You can get, again, if you go to Walmart or the right place, sometimes you can find sugar-free. In fact, I found some sugar-free last night. This is not sugar-free that I made, but I bought some for me to make. Sugar-free black cherry Jell-O. I found some at Rouse's. So you can look for it, and you can find sugar-free if you want to. Anyway, thanks for those comments. I also posted a bit of memorabilia from the past. It's merchandise that B97 had done when I was doing the morning show in the mid-80s, Scoot in the Morning. And somebody sent me a picture, and I posted it on Facebook last night. I'll get to some of those comments. This T-shirt with the message on it, this would never, never be acceptable today. But it was acceptable back then. I mean, we thought it was quite innocent and kind of funny and kind of a cool idea. And remember, I was on in the morning. So when you see the T-shirt, it was a nightshirt. That's what it was. It was a nightshirt. The message makes sense. All right, you can check that out at SOT Facebook. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages. What?
I don't feel very good.
What, you ate too much?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't feel good.
Really?
I mean...
Don't yak.
No. I'll be all right.
Okay. Is it kind of sluggy? You want to take a nap?
I think I just need some water.
You need some water?
I got some water.
You got some water?
Here's a text message that says... we were talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis a minute ago. I really do feel poorly, but I'll be all right. This text says, Lake Charles was number 6 on the nuclear hit list when I grew up because of Chinook Air Force Base. We actually had a place outside of Lake Charles to evacuate to.
Wow.
That's crazy. I can't imagine.
Yeah, you know, that was a thing. And there were a couple of people in my neighborhood in Metairie that installed bomb shelters in their backyards. And, I mean, it was like this metal tube that went under the ground, and there was this air pipe that went up to the surface of the yard.
I bet some of those are still there.
I bet they are.
And I bet there's people living in Metairie that have a bomb shelter and don't even know it. You know, like if the house changed hands a couple times over the decades, and
maybe
they just like
cut off the pipe, the air pipe, and people.
Somebody's down there.
I mean, it might be a good playroom for the kids.
Here's a text that says, "Hey, Scoot, if I win the $400 million Mega Millions jackpot tonight, I promise you'll be able to go over to Peretti Jaguar, talk to Adriana, and pick out whatever Jag you want. Ian, cool. They sell Land Rovers too. What do you want?"
Wow, it's interesting that they think that you would want a Land Rover. I mean, I mentioned that I would take a Jag.
I don't know if I'd rather have a Jag or a Land Rover. Probably the Land Rover seems a little more practical.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
but it'd be cool to have a Jag. But I'm not going to buy a fancy car like that if I don't have off-street parking in the French Quarter. I'm not leaving my Jag out to get peed on all the time. Here's a text that says, "Guys, love the office party. Would be way more entertaining if you joined a couple hours after the open bar."
Yeah.
Did they even have, like, wine or seltzers or anything?
I didn't see anything. Probably not.
It's pretty early in the
day. You know, no, it's not that. It's litigation. It's you know, corporations are just afraid to allow any kind of alcohol beverages.
Right?
But, boy, back in the day, you know, radio stations would have parties. There was liquor everywhere. I mean, even during the day. But I think it's about litigation. I think it's about somebody maybe drinking at the holiday party and getting into an accident and going home and thinking, hey, I can sue the station and not have to work again.
Got a lot of texts in here about Jameis Winston and how we're kind of reflecting on his time in New Orleans. This came up because we talked in the first hour about how exciting the Thursday night football game was and how much fun it was to watch Jameis Winston play around in the snow and do these really funny pre- and post-game interviews. And then you mentioned that the grounds crew did such a great job clearing the snow off of the field markers, and I agreed with you. And then here's a text that says, hey, just for your information, the NFL yard markers was artificial intelligence just made for TV. LOL.
Oh,
so
really?
That's what the whole chains thing is for. Like, the players don't need to see the lines necessarily. They can see the chain marker, right, at the sideline.
Right.
So they're not sending guys out there with a little... you know, no, well, there was, 6-inch wide shovel.
Well, because the 40-yard line, the 40 was so definitive that it's like, how did they just use a blower and blow the snow off that 40? So, I thought they did, but there were some people out there with snow blowers that were blowing the snow around on some of the lines.
Yeah. Well, in any case, it was a really fun game to watch. If you didn't get to see it, go on the internet and look up the highlights and the post-game interviews from that, because Jameis Winston was really, really funny. Are we talking about your Jell-O? Here's a text that says, there's a lot of good prison Jell-O recipes. I think you might have covered a couple of them. Yeah, when you were off a couple months ago, I did a show about like prison food recipes, like the different types of food that you can make in jail.
Yeah.
Got a lot of people in our audience have spent some time in jail, and they knew wow. about how to make different kinds of food.
That's encouraging.
Same texter says, Jell-O is also great for colo prep during fasting.
Yeah.
No red, though.
No red.
Saved me. Cancer awareness. What do you mean, no red?
Well,
Everybody knows this, but me, what is that?
You can't, when you have a colonoscopy, you can't consume anything that's red because they're afraid that it might appear as blood in your colon when they're looking at it.
I haven't had one yet. Yeah. But I was talking to Cardosi the other day. We're both getting
there. Yeah, you're getting pretty close. You're getting pretty close.
Let's see. Here's a text.
You can come over. I got a hose.
No, that's good. I'm good. Thanks for that. Jesus, Scoot. Here's a text that says, JFK's... Good Lord. Okay. Here's a text that says, JFK's... It's okay.
Got a hose.
Collect yourself.
Got a hose and a periscope.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And a snorkel.
No. Text reads... JFK's assassination greatly upset my pregnant mother. Shortly afterward, her doctor informed her that she'd had a miscarriage, and he recommended a D&C, but mom emphatically refused. The doctor warned her of the consequences. He pleaded with my father, but mom wouldn't budge. I was born 5 months later, 2 months early, and was in bad shape. Luckily, huge advances were made in preemie care after JFK's son Patrick died of almost identical circumstances 2 years earlier. So I consider Patrick Kennedy to be my patron saint.
Wow, that's really interesting.
That is a wild story, man.
Yeah, interesting. Wow.
And I'll leave you with this one. We don't have a ton of time here, but I'll give you some time to think about it. Scoot, what's up with Peyton Manning hosting the Country Music Association Awards? I don't get it. Help me understand.
I think Peyton, you know, I thought the same thing. I think Peyton Manning is just, he's a personality. Peyton Manning has become a very diverse TV personality. And he does a great job in commercials, and he's just a very personable person. He does a great job with anything that he does on television. So I think it was just an opportunity to bring in somebody who was a little different, a known personality, Peyton Manning. But that's the only excuse that I can give for him being there, but he's just a personality.
The very first commercial that I ever got booked on was a commercial where I was pretending to be Peyton Manning at a bar. And I was picking up chicks, and I was like, hey, I'm Peyton Manning. I'm a famous NFL quarterback, and here's my little brother, Eli. And it was obviously not Eli Manning. And then some guy jumps into the scene and tackles me, and it's supposed to be like this identity theft protection company. The commercial never aired, much to my great disappointment, because it was a good spot. And
it sounds cool.
Standing right next to Peyton Manning.
Wow.
And, you know, then I did a Spanish language Popeyes commercial. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, I'll show you my commercial reel sometime. There's some gems in there.
That's fun. All right, if you want to join us, it's Free for All Friday. The Okunhar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. On this day in 1975, while disco was raging, this became the number one song in the country. KC, Sunshine Band, That's the Way.
Banger. Ah,
this was also a very popular song to do the bump to. Another baby boomer dance. This one was known as baby boomers were very, very big on dances. You know, there was the jerk. That was the name of the dance, not the person that did it. The jerk, the mashed potato, the twist, the bump. The hustle, all the disco music, and then Urban Cowboy came out and boomers were doing line dances, and then, you know, there was the gator, you know, and there was like, you know, some some tough guy at a party that somebody would have, would, you know, they put on some special song, some song, and some guy would pop the gator, and, you know, all the girls and everybody would surround the area and let him, oh, all right, man, so-and-so's, yeah, Rusty's popping the gator. Yeah, that was a kind of a disgusting remembrance of baby boomers in the past. Anyway, The Bump was one of those baby boomer songs and one of those baby boomer dances. You would bump body parts. Imagine if young kids did that today. What would baby boomers think? I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, still to come, we'll talk about those of you who are going to be traveling next week for Thanksgiving, and we'll talk more about that next week, too. But a lot of people take the entire week off, and that's why here at the station they're having their Thanksgiving potluck lunch dinner going on in the other room. We were at least, Ian and I, even though it's happening during our show, we were able to get in there and steal some food. I wonder if anybody has tried my grandmother's jelly. Went in there a little while ago, and nobody was tasting it. I posted how much was gone on the Facebook page. Not much was gone.
Well, there's some people who brought their kids. I mean, the kids are certainly eating that.
Well, I would think so. None was gone when we were there. Well, one little smidgen was gone earlier. So let's see. We'll talk a little bit about traveling. If you go to the movie Wicked, you're being told not to sing along with the songs. We'll do more on that in the next hour. I want to share with you a couple of comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. This is about the nightshirt. This was a nightshirt, not a T-shirt. It was a nightshirt that we gave out when I was on B97 back in the mid-80s. And this is something that would never be allowed today. But I think it's pretty funny. Anyway, you can see that at Scoot on the Air Facebook. Let's see. One comment. This is a comment from Melissa. I remember Scoot in the morning on B97 FM. Loved his show. Thank you, Melissa. Well, yeah, I'm actually the same person. Susan says, I found you, Scoot, and other wonderful 105.3 personalities when I moved to Hammond. Have lived in other Louisiana cities, originally from Illinois, 40 years ago, and don't miss the cold. Let's see. Melinda says, slow. Oh, no, I can't say that on the air. Hop, skip, and go naked Sundays at Steak and Ale with Captain Humble and Scoot in the morning in the mid-70s. Fun times. Yes, Melinda, we're lucky to be alive. Nicole says, I just sang the jingle. I'm that old. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people still sing that Scoot in the Morning jingle. It was to the Hallelujah chorus, you know, Scoot in the Morning, B97 FM. I guess we could do another one. I mean, I could do a jingle. We could do Scoot in the Morning. No, Scoot on the Air, Scoot on the Air, on the Air, on the Air, on the Air, WWL.
Yeah, that'll catch right on.
Yeah, I think it will.
Scoot on the Air, on the Air, on the Air,
air. Yeah.
On the
WWL. Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, anyway, that was a big thing. It's amazing how many people still repeat that to me when they see me. And look, it's a great memory. It is a great memory. Let's see. Denise says, oh, how sweet. Patrick says, I still sing that old jingle from time to time. Jennifer says, I remember that jingle. When people hear Scoot in the Morning, they do remember. It was very memorable, and the general manager of the station, Bob Rich, was the genius behind that. You know, he thought about that, he created it, and it really became a big deal. Somebody says, anything from WQUE, a service of InSilco Broadcasting. That's from Marty. Yeah, I did work at WQUE, Q93, when it was a top 40 station. And I do have something involving Scoot's athletic briefs from Q93 in my office. Maybe I'll post that. I will. I'll go ahead and post that. I'll post that picture at some point. Well, I'll do it after the show. I mean, look, this is a light Friday. The election's over, and we purposely did not want to get heavily into politics today. And we're going to start kind of weaning our way away from politics. And, you know, but if the president of the United States does something significant, if our rights are threatened, if freedom of speech is threatened, if these things actually become reality, of course we're going to talk about that. But there's a lot of other stuff to get to, and we will get to all of those things. And Ian, I love the conversation we had at the beginning of this hour about mass media and society, and about the impact that mass media has had on society, and how we, every generation has changed. And some of the changes today, positive, some of them are negative. But more people in this industry should have that kind of conversation.
Absolutely.
And more people in this industry should understand more about the relationship between mass media and society. Because there are a hell of a lot of people in this business, and they really don't have a clue. They just have this very shallow, surface-level understanding of the media. All right, we got to get to a break here. If you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. It is Free for All Friday. Sad day. On this day in 1997, I remember this day, Michael Hutchence, the lead singer of INXS, died at a Sydney, Australia hotel room. The coroner ruled it was suicide. He was 37 years old. Michael Hutchence of INXS was the prototypical rock star. He had the hair, he had the look, he had the attitude. He was in the band that had the attitude. Michael Hutchence was the epitome of a rocker. And this is the day he committed suicide, 1997. That was a loss. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Wow, that caught me by surprise. I was finishing up my Thanksgiving dinner here at the station. All right, so, yeah, it's Free for All Friday. We're just having a relaxed day today. Party going on here at the station. Nibbling on food while we do the show. But there are a few things we still need to talk about. And if you want to join us with a comment, it's Free for All Friday. The Okunard Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. You know, I heard that LSU lost a top recruit. And man, that's the problem with LSU playing poorly. You know, the coach is Brian Kelly. And a lot of people are very disappointed in Brian Kelly. And some recruits may look at not coming to LSU because they don't have confidence in where Brian Kelly's taking this team. How will LSU do against Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt's having a pretty good year. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.